Many of you may know that Rome is home to a large organization called FAO. It's the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, and it leads international efforts to defeat hunger. That's an ambitious mandate for sure, but it fulfills its mission by acting as a forum where nations and a variety of organizations can meet to negotiate agreements and debate policy. It's also a source of knowledge and information, and promotes many different kinds of initiatives that have its same scope. One of these was a panel discussion I attended this week, aiming for greater appreciation of local crops. The event was organized by the Global Facilitation Unit for Underutilized Species, an offspring of Bioversity, which is an international agricultural research institute whose mandate is to conserve biodiversity for future generations. Sounds rather technical, doesn't it? But actually, it's not. Irmgard Hirschle-Zeledon, who's the lady behind it, says Bioversity has a very hands-on approach.
Conserving doesn't mean only to protect the species in gene banks and keep them artificially conserved there, but conserve biodiversity through its utilization.
Why is that so important?
Future generations, they must have a basis of living, and biodiversity is the asset everywhere available, even to poor people, on which they can resort in order to have access to food, to shelter, to energy, and so on. And biodiversity is the basis of future plant breeding efforts.
Now, Irmgard is clearly referring to agricultural diversity, but she explained there are in fact three general kinds of biodiversity: habitat diversity, genetic diversity, and species diversity. The survival of each is linked to the health of the other two, and together they comprise the wealth of ecosystems in our universe. Ultimately, that's why the preservation of biodiversity in our changing world is so important. Irmgard and her team operate in the field of agriculture, and more precisely in that of neglected or underutilized crop species. I asked her to explain what underutilized species are.
That is a very open term, and it is interpreted in different ways. In our context, we say underutilized species are species that have a potential which is not yet fully exploited to improve food security, reduce poverty, and improve livelihoods of poor people.
For example, what is an underutilized species that we can pinpoint?
Many traditional plants that have been used in the past to a great extent are now not so much used anymore. They have been replaced by modern crops. An example is, for instance, many African indigenous vegetables, which have been replaced by cabbage or tomatoes or onions. And these vegetables, for instance, are indigenous eggplants, amaranthus, which is a leafy vegetables, but also in other parts of the world, like in South America, we have the Andean grains, such as quinoa, which is also called the Inca wheat, or amaranthus, two small grains which have been almost completely replaced by imported wheat. And they are now experiencing a kind of revival because people have realized that they have been very nutritious to them, and so therefore the people have been much healthier than they are now with their diets based on wheat, on pasta, and introduced food varieties.
And that's not their only value.
Also, these species have been selected over centuries to resist adverse conditions where they are growing. So they hardly need any external inputs like fertilizers and pesticides to grow and to still provide reasonable yields. So for instance, in drought periods, these species, also not providing the highest yields, like high-yielding maize varieties in a good year, they resist the drought and still give people some food to survive.
But that's only the introduction to the program, just to put the panel discussion I want to tell you about into context. The first panellist I spoke to is Jeff McNeely, a scientist at the World Conservation Union in Switzerland. I asked him why it is important in this day and time to raise awareness for underutilised crop species.
I think that when we say underutilized species, we immediately get people thinking the wrong thing. And I think what we're really talking about is diversity and trying to encourage the use of crops that people have been using for hundreds, thousands of years even, and encouraging them to continue to use these species. I don't think it's a terribly technical issue either. You know, I think if we go around the world and we see the 6,000 or 7,000 different cultures, you'll find that they're all eating something that's slightly different. And I think what we've been arguing here today is to maintain that kind of diversity so that the world is a richer place for everybody on the planet.
So in the face of climate change, maybe?
Well, climate is certainly going to change. And by having this kind of diversity, we've increased our capacity to adapt to the kinds of changes that are certain to come.
The chairman of the panel, FAO's Dr. Eric Kuhnemann, has a slightly different perspective.
A lot of our food system today is based on relatively few crops. And there are huge opportunities and needs to diversify this, not only for income of producers, but also to improve the diet and for nutritional reasons, including address problems of the double burden of malnutrition, not only the lack of proper nutrients for undernutrition, but also people eating too much of the wrong sorts of thing and creating diabetes and other non-communicable diseases associated with diet.
So it's important not only in the developing countries, but also in the rich nations.
Yes, absolutely true. And in fact, there are many programs in North America and Europe promoting, say, five a day, encouraging people to expand the consumption of fruits and vegetables for the same sorts of goals. But there are many underutilized species that could contribute to this effort as well.
Listening to the speakers, I discovered that over 50% of the global requirement for proteins and calories are met by maize, wheat, and rice. And yet it was highlighted there are more than 7,000 plant species across the world that are cultivated or harvested from the wild for food. Dr. Rick Kush-Liyenga of the UN's Biotrade Promotion Programme, UNCTAD, has made the promotion of underutilised species one of his main aims.
What kind of impact can they have on our society today?
They are at this moment as an input for food, they're an input for building materials, they're an input for medicine. They are used at this moment. They're at the basis of everything we do, species in general. Yeah, but the number of species we are using is getting more and more limited, and we only focus on those that are most commercially available. And here today we've been talking about how we can try to take into account those foods or those species that are not necessarily commercially used, big cash crops, and how we can start making use of those to give value to them, and if we give value to them, to use to support their survival in the future. It's very much underutilized species for me is very much a concept linked to biodiversity, which is something that is more and more known. Everybody talks about climate change at this moment, but the issue of biodiversity is going to be the second big issue in the world, and underutilized species are all related to the concept of biodiversity.
I forgot to mention that the room the discussion took place in was full of delegates from all over the world. Men and women from Nigeria, Jamaica, Tanzania, Japan, Egypt, Canada, just to name a few, had problems to expose and recommendations to make regarding the value of underutilized species. These will be synthesized in a report to be handed to the FAO Commission on Genetic Resources for Food and Agriculture. I asked all those I spoke to what their hopes are for the near future.
My hope is, first of all, that the Commission now this week in some way reflects in their report, in their recommendations, what has been discussed here at this meeting, that this will translate at the long run into a change of policies in the countries, into a change of attitude towards these species in the member countries, and that also this discussion from here gets to the notice of some donors who will then rethink or think about providing continuous support for either for us or for any other new unit that should come up to support the countries in working on underutilized species and utilizing them.
Well, I hope that there will be a lot more interest paid by governments in maintaining this kind of cultural diversity and agricultural diversity so that they have a broader base of crops upon which to build the future.
And also for food security, I think.
Yes, I think that we will have a lot more food security if we are more self-reliant, if we're able to feed ourselves and then export a surplus. But if we depend on food from somewhere else all the time, then we're in a very vulnerable situation.
What I hope is that the issue of biodiversity becomes more important, that in our daily lives we can start paying attention more to this issue through very practical ways, by starting to use it more, by starting to pay attention to those species that are local to our region, to our habitats, but also species that come from abroad, and that we can not just focus on the 1, 2, 3, 4 species we all know.
It's a way of tackling food security in the world as well.
It's a way of tackling food security, and it's a way of tackling biodiversity conservation in the long run. They all go together. You cannot separate from one from the other. And now with climate change, there's going to be much more pressure on these type of species.
I think we would all hope that we would manage this planet in a more responsible way, including what we grow and how we grow it. And good agriculture practices and diversification of the production systems in responsible ways, I think, are goals for all of us to address the Millennium Development Goals in the UN system.
So next time you come across finger millet, teff, pili or peach palm, don't brush them aside. Why not try them out instead of your usual wheat or maize? Not only will you be promoting their utilization and their trade, you'll also be treating yourself to a healthy meal which is low in fat and high in fiber. And more important, you'll be making your own tiny contribution to help local economies, to conserve traditional knowledge, and to protect the very precious biodiversity that is an integral part of God's creation.